Good evening, everybody. So, I would like to continue the happiness. Because everybody wants to be happy. So I'm interested to in discussion about the happiness. From Buddhist perspective, the happiness is actually a kind of mental state we call vedana. So happiness and unhappiness is actually the same. In terms of the in ultimate sense, I mean. You know, the apple and orange, they are different things, right? They are different in all aspects, in size, in shape, in taste. And they have different trees that grow from different seed. But happiness and unhappiness is the same. They grow from the same seed. They are just feeling. In Pali, we call vedana. Mostly the happiness we are pursuing is inferior happiness, which are related to our senses. We feel happy when we satisfy our senses. That's what we call happiness. So the Buddha said, "Jakhong ja pateja rube ja upajati jaku vinyana deinan singati faso fasa pajaya vedana." There is I. There is a visible object. When the visible object strikes or impinges on the eyes, our eyes, and a seeing consciousness takes place, which is followed by the experience of all the senses, or the visible object. That experience followed by feeling, pleasant or unpleasant. So the feeling is there. So everyday life, we know five senses impinges on our five sense objects impinges on our senses. We enjoy, and then we feel happy. We are happy to see something or someone beautiful, good looking, and we are happy to listen to the pleasant music. We are happy to experience fragrant smell. We are happy to experience tasty food and soft touch. And so on. So our happiness actually just satisfying our senses. So when something visible impinges on our eyes, seeing consciousness take place. So that seeing consciousness is newly take place. That seeing consciousness is that is really seeing. There is no me or mine. That seeing consciousness is seeing. Nobody else involved. That seeing consciousness take place outdoor nowhere. I mean the outdoor zero. And then disappear into zero. It is just like the fire we produce when we rub the match or the lighter. The fire is nowhere, you know, stored or nowhere in stock, you know. Nowhere the fire is reserved anywhere, nowhere. It takes place when the conditions met. So in the same way, seeing takes place when conditions are met. So, but we identified the seeing, or it is me who is seeing. I'm seeing someone beautiful or ugly. So that's an illusion. During the Buddha's time, one of the monks he happened to look at the portrait of a beautiful woman. He just accidentally looked at that picture or portrait, and he feel a romantic feeling. And then so he happened to do something unwholesome. So the Buddha laid down Vinaya rule. No monks is allowed to keep women portrait. So just imagine what the monks really see. It's just painting, just color, right? But he said there's illusion. He didn't see color. He sees something unreal, right? So what he really see is color or the paint. But there's an illusion. He imagines the very beautiful women and something like this. So under such illusion, we are happy to see someone beautiful. We are unhappy to see someone ugly, someone we hate, or someone we love. So that's happiness, unhappiness, that's just feeling. You know, what we really see is just color. As you know, that's beauty is how deep? Just second deep, right? If we really see someone, what we really see is just skin, the surface, the skin complexion. What the beauty is? Beauty is just illusion, you know. I know me, you are not beautiful. You are very beautiful, but that I explain that according to the Pali text. So beauty is illusion. Under such illusion, we feel happy to see someone beautiful, we feel unhappy to see someone ugly. You know, there's an illusion. So the happy and unhappy is just different pieces of the same illusion. So our happiness, unhappiness is has origin in illusion. So they are come from the same seed. And also they are just the same, just feeling. The illusion, you know, the make it colorful. Like the Steve said yesterday, we are strongly believe in stories that delusion tell us. So these are just illusory sense of happiness. So one day I saw, when I was a teenager, I saw a beautiful, a shapely girl coming toward me. So I feel kind of the romantic feeling. And when she close enough to me, I found out she's my younger sister. She was, so the, oh, you know, feelings change right away. No more happiness. just so-so, just tranquil. So the happiness related to someone of opposite sex. So such happiness is depends on illusion. Its root is has an illusion. So they come from, they grow from the same seed, you know, happiness and unhappiness. When I first see, I feel happy to, I enjoy seeing that someone, you know, attractive. When closer, I found out sister, and then kind of, you know, different feeling, you know, indifference. So the same object, the feeling change to different pieces, different functions. So in both cases, there is an illusion. Illusion is root. From that root, happiness, unhappiness grow. So this kind of happiness, the Buddha said, the inferior happiness, because it is just satisfying our senses, just like scratching the itch. Scratching the itch is quite pleasurable. But when the real pleasure is when there is no itch, no scratching, then there is a real pleasure. So in the same way, when we hear song, pleasant song, we happy. And unpleasant song, we are unhappy. And same with the music. You know. For me, is modern music is not very happy. The country music is for me is very pleasant. You know. But the country music or rock or pop, these are all voice. All voice, the tone or the, you know, voice. But I found one music is pleasant, another music is unpleasant. That's just simply illusion. When I hear country music, you know, like the country road, take me home, oh, I'm sick, you know, it's a very soothing and very pleasant. But actually, it's a sound, just a tone of voice. But it makes me happy, you know. Happy. That's a simply illusion, right? It comes from illusion. It's actually it's a just tone of voice, only voice, you know. In the Pali text, there are stories. You know, in early days of the universe, there's no human beings. There were no human beings yet, only the water and fishes. There's a very huge lake and big fishes there. And on that bank on the lake, there's a huge giant trees, you know, we call jambu trees. You know. The fruits are very big. So the fruits all the time falling into the lake, you know. make a noise, boom, boom, like this. And then the fish jump out and catch it, and they catch the fruit. And so make a noise, boom, boom. So boom, 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 boom. So this is so the first music or not. Believe it or not, that story. Later human beings, you know, they're reborn on earth. And they hear that sound. Oh, that's very nice, you know. It's a boom, 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 you know. So they create music. So that's the first music in this universe. But anyway, the music, or country music, or rock, or pop, is just a voice, you know, just sound, just vibration. It's come to our eardrum, and it strike eardrum, and the hearing consciousness take place. That's it. We think, oh, I'm here. I have been the same person from the day I was born until today. Hearing music, you know, something like this. Actually, we are changing every moment. It is not me or mine who am hearing the sound. The one who hearing the sound is just hearing consciousness. The hearing consciousness takes place when conditions are met. There is an eardrum we have, and there is sound. The impinges on the eardrum, they strike eardrum, and then hearing consciousness takes place out of nowhere. I mean, out of zero, and it disappears. And another sound comes in, strike eardrum. And hearing, another hearing consciousness take place, and disappear. So within the 1 second, billions of mind moment arise and pass away, according to Abhidhamma. So billions of hearing consciousness arise and pass away within split second. So we can hear music. We think we are hearing music for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, something like this, continuously. You know, we are the same person. We hear music, you know, almost every day. It is me who am hearing the music. That's an illusion. So the music is pleasant or unpleasant. That's also illusion. Under this illusion, we feel happy to hear the music we like, and unhappy to hear the music we hate. For me and my son, and different music. when I listen the country sound, he is really hated. When he play, you know, the rock and pop music, I really hate it. I'm not happy. So happy and unhappy is just illusion. We what we really experience is just sound. So this kind of inferior happiness come out of the illusion. Actually, no, there is a pleasant or unpleasant, it's just illusion, just feeling. So in the same way, with the smell, when we get fragrant smell, we are happy. When we experience foul smell, we are unhappy. You know, So we are just trying to struggling to satisfy our senses. A friend of mine told me a story, a funny story. two men, they lost their way in Thailand. You know. So they are driving around the big city and they lost their way. So finally they became very hungry. So in a corner, they are very happy because they got smell, you know, barbecue smell. Ah, there must be barbecue stores, barbecue shop. So they smell, okay, we go and enjoy the barbecue, you know. It's maybe beef or something, you know. So they follow the smell. And finally, they found out that the smell came from the mortuary, you know. So in Thailand, in the most of Buddhist monasteries, they have kind of the mortuary, you know. And because the people, the funeral ceremony, they celebrate in the monastery, so there's a mortuary. So when they found out the mortuary in the monastery, oh, they were really disappointed. So the smell from burning beef or burning human is the same, right? But illusion make us happy and unhappy. So when the smell, you know, the impinges on our nose sensitivity, and then feeling take place, happy or unhappy. You know, that's smelling feeling, smelling consciousness is take place when the conditions are met. It's not reserved anywhere. It just come out of nowhere. It just come out of zero and disappear into zero. But within split second, billions of mind movements arise and pass away. So smelling consciousness can take place billions of times, arise and pass away within split seconds. So we can smell, we can experience several kinds of smell, and we happy and unhappy. So our happiness, unhappiness is based on the illusion. I mean this kind of happiness, the inferior happiness. So this happiness is just satisfying our senses. So this happiness is not something wholesome. It's something unwholesome. Because it's selfish. We just satisfy our senses. And when we are satisfied, we feel happy. So there's a selfishness, greed, and illusion, and a delusion. So such happiness is inferior happiness and unwholesome happiness. And also called happiness with additive. And smell, taste, also the same, you know. And touch, also the same, you know. These are all based on the illusion. So when I was a novice, every morning I went for alms round. And a girl of my age, you know, she came out and then she wanted to offer something for me. And so I bent my body to receive what she's going to offer. And then my forehead hit accidentally or with her forehead. You know. So I feel very, you know, pleasant feeling, a kind of romantic feeling. So I think about that. It's what I really experience is just temperature or warmth on her forehead. But I, you know, the based on illusion, I enjoy it is something special. It's not something special, it's a warmth, it's a warmth. We can experience such kind of warmth when we touch anything or anybody else. But because of illusion, there's enjoyment, happiness, and romantic feeling take place. So that these are all related to illusion. And also, these are unwholesome happiness, and also inferior happiness. The happiness we are pursuing is this kind of happiness. Now, these sense objects, when they are related to the someone or the opposite sex or someone we love, these sense objects are very powerful. You know, we are always influenced by these sense objects. We are happy when we are with somebody we love. We see somebody we love, then we are happy. We hear somebody we love, we are happy. So our happiness, this kind of happiness, related to sensual pleasure, related to someone or opposite sex, is just satisfying our senses. It's just scratching the itch, you know. So that's why this kind of happiness is called illusory happiness or inferior happiness or unwholesome happiness. But that's the happiness most of us are pursuing. But there's another kind of happiness, wholesome happiness, or superior happiness, or the happiness without additive. The wholesome happiness comes from the wholesome deeds, like deed or act of generosity, or act of loving kindness and compassion, or the act of wisdom, deed of wisdom, or deed of concentration. I mean that this meditation practice. Real happiness comes, wholesome happiness comes from these wholesome deeds. Act of generosity, when you see someone in need, you feel the compassion. And then you give something to him, and then you see him become very happy. At that moment, you also feel very happy, right? That happiness is come from unselfishness. This is pure. There's no selfishness. You just want to make him happy. So he become happy, and then you be happy. So that happiness is a pure happiness, it's a wholesome happiness, and a real happiness. The inferior happiness and wholesome happiness is always, you know, the troublesome. Insatiable. There is an insatiable desire. So it's almost impossible to satisfy our senses because our desire is always insatiable. We always need something better, something newer, you know, something more beautiful, something better, you know. So how advanced the latest technology may be, it cannot satisfy our senses, our insatiable desires, because we always want more and more, and newer and newer, and better and better. We have a car. We are not satisfied with our own car. We want latest car, you know, Mercedes and something like this. So that we cannot be happy, because selfish desire never satisfied. Selfish desire always insatiable. So it's always torturing our mind. So the happiness comes from selfish desire, selfishness. Actually, is in disguise of the torture, tormenting. You know. This happiness, before this happiness, we have to work hard to gain what we want. And also, for example, we buy the beautiful cars, and we have to pay every month, you know. So we have to work hard. So there's a lot of things troublesome, make us unhappy, because there's a selfishness. If that car is for a charity or for someone happiness, then we won't be. That won't be troublesome that much, you know. If there is selfishness, there is suffering. If there is no selfishness, there is no suffering. So our happiness is related to selfishness. So it's always subject to suffering. It's always exposed to suffering. So that kind of happiness is unwholesome happiness. You know, it's rarely satisfied and always insatiable. So in the end, it's always torturing us. That's why it's unwholesome and inferior happiness. The wholesome and superior happiness is take place when we do dana, the deed or act of generosity. When we give something to someone, they become happy. We see someone happy, then we also happy. That happiness is unselfish happiness. There is no selfishness, so that's wholesome. So we cannot say it's insatiable or not. Not to mention whether it's insatiable or not. You just satisfying, fulfilled, and happy. So I saw my brother Steve. You know, he working very hard when he come to Burma. You know, the school project, he going around. Burma is very hard, you know, 100, 110, 112, you know, that hard temperature. You know, the transportation is very bad. You know, the road is very bumpy and jumping car. You know, but I saw him, he's very happy, because he's helping people in need. The people in Burma are very poor, and they have no education, so he want to help, so he helped. So there's a happiness. That happiness is a wholesome happiness, real happiness, because it's unselfish happiness. So it's not satisfying one's senses. It's just to make other people happy. So such happiness is wholesome happiness. So wholesome happiness comes from the act of generosity. So So you may see someone homeless in the roadside. If you give $1 or $2 to him, you will feel happy, you know. Somebody asked me a question, you know, what's your decision? You give something, you give $1 or $2 to the homeless person. But later he abused that money, he used it for drugs. And so whether it is worth it or not to give him. So for me, I want to see him happy. So if I give him $1, I see him happy, then I'm really happy, you know. I don't know, I don't bother about whether he used it for drugs or whatever, you know, I don't know. But definitely, I can feel happy. You know, when I have the extra money, you know, I give, you know, someone like homeless, and I'm happy because I see them, they're happy, you know. So that happiness is unselfish happiness. I cannot give thousands or $10,000 of dollars like Steve. I can give the $1 or $2 to somebody. At least I can be happy, you know. So that such happiness is a wholesome happiness. That's a real happiness. And then the happiness comes from the morality. So we are normally observe the five precepts, refraining from killing, refraining from stealing, refraining from sexual misconduct, and refraining from telling lies, refraining from the intoxicants, you know. These are five precepts. Nobody on earth wants to get killed, right? So the killing is a killing cannot be justified in any way. So killing is universal offense. It's a non-Buddhist offense. So refraining from killing is a universal precept, not Buddhist precept. We call the Loka Vajja is a Panati Vajja. It's the Loka Vajja, the universal offense, universal precept. So when you refrain from killing, that means you are giving great gift to a living being. We call Mahadana, Abhayadana, the gift of protection and give great gift, Mahadana, or gift of protection, Abhayadana. So for example, the mosquito bite you, and you can kill it, you know. You can hit and kill it. But you look at mosquito, but you didn't kill, you type it away. And you protect, you save his life. You know. Then there arise happiness. That's a real happiness. You give great gift, you know. Life is, you know, priceless for everybody, you know. You kill someone's life easily, that's really horrible. It cannot be justified in any way. So life is precious for everybody. So if you allow any living being to live, that's the greatest gift we can give someone in the world. So from that great gift, we can gain the pure happiness, wholesome happiness. So nobody on earth want to get their belongings stolen. So stealing is a universal offense. Refraining from stealing is a universal precept. By keeping this universal precept, we can be happy. We can live happy life. We can live lawful life. We don't commit any evil deeds, stealing or the robbing or the any kinds of the cheating, you know, something like this. So the happiness comes from the morality. Refraining from sexual misconduct. Nobody wants to be abused sexually. So the sexual misconduct is a universal offense. Refraining from sexual misconduct is a universal precept, not Buddhist precept. There is two kinds of offense, loka vajja and panati vajja. For a monk, for example, monks are not allowed to eat dinner. Monks are not allowed to listen music. Listening music, eating dinner is no offense at all. That's not universal offense. We call constitutional offense. We call panati vajja in Pali. Panati vajja means it's offense because the Buddha laid down the monastic rules and regulation. So more than half of the monastic rules and regulation are just constitutional offenses, no real offenses. So killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, these are real offenses. So that's why we call these offenses as loka vajja, universal offense. Refraining from these misconducts, we call universal precept. So from morality, from observing morality, we can have the pure happiness or the wholesome happiness. There are so many people who committed evil deeds and their lives, you know, become ruined. Some people, they are very high rank, high position, but they got affair with somebody and they got fire and they suffer a lot. So by observing precept, we can have the pure happiness, wholesome happiness. And the really pure and superior happiness is come from the meditation practice. So there's two kinds of meditation. So samatha meditation and vipassana meditation. For samatha meditation, if we practice the metta, loving kindness, you can experience the real pure happiness to some extent. If you develop the anapana, and anapana means the meditation on the breath. So the moment your mind is fully focused on the nostril, on the breath, the mind for that moment free from anger and hatred and delusion and worry and anxiety. So for that moment, there is happiness take place. So happiness, such happiness come from the concentration. So samatha practice, that's pure happiness, the wholesome happiness. When we practice metta, maybe you you may ever practice metta meditation. Metta is just wishing all living beings be happy and healthy. And then you feel happiness. right way. That kind of happiness comes from samatha meditation. That's pure happiness, wholesome happiness. And also, there are many others samatha meditation. For example, the meditation on death, meditation on 32 parts of the body, these are also very good meditation, tranquility meditations. Although you cannot see the truth, reality through these meditations, but you can feel, you can enjoy the pure happiness from this meditation. For example, when I was young, I always practiced the meditation on 32 parts of the body. You know, 32 parts of the body is in my body, there is a hair, body hair, and a finger, knee, toe, knee, and a skin, and a flesh, bone, sinew, bone marrow, and something like this. These are all, nothing is me or mine. The hair is not me or mine, and finger, knee, toe, knee, not me or mine. Our skin is not me or mine. You know. The whole body, the bone, we have hundreds of bones, right? We are composed of the bone and muscles. Which one is mine? Which bone is mine? So there is a me or mine, that's a simply illusion, you know. The moment I realized, oh, there's happiness take place. No worry, no anxiety, and no anger or hatred. And my ego also very shrink, you know, right away. Otherwise, you know, our ego is very big. I'm so and so. Whoever we are always have big ego, you know. I'm so and so. You are millionaire, billionaire. Never mind. I'm someone, you know. You are professor. Oh, never mind. Forget it. I'm someone. We are always have ego, even though we are not. we may not be high in social status or education or whatever, you know. The people in Burma, for example, they are poor. But their ego is not small, you know. As big as yours. Because the illusion, you know, it's me and mine. You are rich, you are educated, oh, forget it, I am also someone, you know. You know, that everybody like that. Because very illusion, very deep-seated, very deep-rooted. So that when we develop the meditation, oh, it's a hair and pingani, toni, and skin, bone, nothing is me or mine, nothing is me or mine. You know, then ego is, there's no room for ego. And no room for worry or anxiety. Mind is very calm and peaceful. That's a samatha meditation, you know. At that moment, happiness takes place. That's a pure happiness, you know. Pure happiness. And also there are many other meditations, you know, the recollection of the one's death, and something like this. And insight meditation is, of course, is the best meditation. So we are teaching insight meditation. So through the insight meditation, we can see that something real, something present. Something present means something real. So if we see something present, that means we are seeing something real, reality. We are seeing reality. So to see reality means to feel happy. You know. When we see something real, when you realize the truth, there is happiness. There arises happiness. That happiness is real happiness. That happiness is without additive. It's a pure happiness. So it's as the Buddha said, you know, that happiness takes place when there is no itch, no scratching, you know. That happiness takes place. So that happiness, to reach that happiness, we have many steps, you know, to take, step by step. But anyway, as the saying goes, you know, we have to, we take the journey of 1,000 miles, we have to start with the one step, right? So we have to go step by step to reach that ultimate happiness. So there's 16 steps to reach that ultimate happiness. And in terms of purification, there is 7 stages of purification. So the goal is the ultimate happiness. That's real happiness, superior happiness. So we are all here practicing Vipassana meditation. We are on the way to that happiness, superior happiness, ultimate happiness. But of course, step by step, you know, we are going, you know, every moment, if we are mindful, the moment we are mindful, you know, we are closer to that happiness. So there are 7 stages of purification we have to go through until that ultimate happiness. So Steve is working on that process. So I will leave it to him. So the happiness is basically 2 kinds, okay? Inferior happiness and superior happiness, or the unwholesome happiness and wholesome happiness, and illusory happiness and real happiness. Pure and wholesome happiness can take place from adult generosity and deal with the morality and deal with meditations by this. Okay. So thank you very much for your attention.